From Louisville, Kentucky, this is live coverage of the 47th Annual ACB Convention. Now, here's your host, Chrissy Cochran.
Oh, doesn't he do that well? Welcome indeed, dear listener, to the Candidates Forum. We may be starting a little bit late, as not many people have arrived yet. However, what I thought we would do is run one of the interviews and fade it down when we're ready to start. Jay Dubner will be hosting the show for us tonight. The basic idea is the candidates have, I think it's a minute each, or is it two, to give their details. And by the way, I thought I would give you the details of the amendment this morning that we lost due to the power surge, and the amendment concerning listservs and the like was not passed. So the language remains the same. The language remains the same as was. That's the amendment that we had during the power cut, which actually went to a vote. So let's just run this and a promo. Contest thingy. What's it? Ujar? What's it? Whatever call it. And we will go to the podium as soon as we're ready. As I say, I don't think the candidates have come in yet. So, we've got a bit of time, fortunately. So, let's see. There we go. Right, let's run.
TerraTech's accessible digital lifestyle is a hot topic and getting hotter. Here's your chance to add some sizzle to your life by participating in our online survey and enrolling to win a complete digital lifestyle makeover. Here's what you could win. An Asus 2-pound netbook PC with 1 gigabyte of main memory and an 8 gigabyte SSD drive fully equipped for accessible wireless networking, including TerraTech's award-winning System Access screen reader. A complete TerraTech software as service package including System Access Mobile, 4 years of System Access Mobile Network, and Neo Speech, a Humanware Victor Stream audiobook player, a Creative Lab Zen Stone MP3 player, and one copy of any Mobile Speak screen reader for your mobile device, courtesy of Code Factory. The digital lifestyle makeover is worth more than $2,000, and all you have to do is answer a few really easy questions. Of course, you don't have to wait to win to get access and be accessible. If you're one of the first 100 people to sign up for TerraTech's 4-year software as service package, we'll send you a Zen Stone MP3 player at no charge. For more information, please visit TerraTech on the web at www.terratech.com. Access life with TerraTech's digital lifestyle. Start your makeover today. The winner of our Summer Sizzle contest will be drawn on the Sunday after Labor Day on ACB Radio's Marlena program, and the winner must be at home to win.
Just a reminder that the email and MSN boxes will be open. So, if you have a question we can get to the candidates, then I would be only too pleased to take them. I say we. That is a slight misnomer. I am flying solo this evening. So, I will endeavour to get any question you have, and that will be convention@acbradio.org. Talking of TerraTech, let's run the interview that we've got.
Your name is?
My name is Ricky Inger.
Ricky Inger, and yes. You're with TerraTech?
Yes, I've been with the company since about September, and I do a little bit of everything, which is the way I like it.
Excellent. I like wearing many hats.
Exactly.
So what is exciting about TerraTech these days?
All sorts of cool stuff. We have had a wonderful time at the convention so far. We've been able to meet some current customers of TerraTech face-to-face finally, and we've been able to meet a lot of new people. And what we're talking about at this, the conventions this summer is the release of System Access 3.0, which is going to introduce Braille support for the Alva BC640 Braille display. It's a very cool, very portable Braille display, and the best thing about it is that it doesn't require any proprietary drivers. You just plug it right into any machine, and you're off and running. So we've introduced support for that, as well as for Firefox 3 and IE8. We have shrunk executable for TerraTech. So for those of you, or the executable for System Access, rather. So for those of you who are using SA to Go, you're going to notice much quicker download speeds because it's much smaller, much lighter weight. So that's essentially what we're doing, and we're also doing lots of cool digital lifestyle things. We're showing streaming radio from several different providers and just generally talking about how to be entertained or be productive or whatever it is that you need to do on the go as well as at your own desktop.
Sounds like it. Sounds like what you're doing is how to be able to be anywhere you want to be and have access.
Exactly.
Now, the first thing you said, did you say that was a Braille display?
It is a Braille display, yes. It's sold by Optilec here in the U.S., is, again, the Alva BC640.
Mm-hmm.
So a wonderful 40-cell Braille display, very lightweight and portable, and I may just walk off with this one at the end of the show. No, I'm just kidding. it's that cool, though.
And that will work with what?
That will work with System Access 3.0, and so you're going to be able to use that in all your standard applications, not only on the Internet, but with things like Microsoft Word and Excel, all of the typical things that you have speech for on the computer, you're going to be able to now have Braille access as well.
How big is it?
It's huge. It's not huge. It's tiny, tiny, tiny. It's probably... I'm horrible with measurements, mm-hmm. but it weighs certainly less than 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's very small. Got a nice shoulder strap and case with it as well.
Hmm. Neat. And what does that run for now? What is that?
It's around $5,400, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes not only the Braille display, but a really awesome feature pack, which has a Braille keyboard and a set of stereo speakers that are built into the unit. So not only can you plug this Braille display into any machine and use it as a display, you can also use it as an input device, and you can load System Access directly onto the Alva BC640. So now you don't have to carry around a thumb drive with you to have System Access in addition to your Braille display. It's all right there in the same device.
Wow. What's happened with what was the Freedom Box? What is that now, or what?
We've really expanded things from the early days where you had a unit that you could talk to it and it would do, you know, some very cool but fairly simplistic things. And what we've done now is what was originally Freedom Box is now referred to as the System Access Mobile Network, and we have grown tremendously over the past couple of years. Even we have about 1,700 described videos. We have streaming radio content, news from about 130 different countries, the ability to check your weather wherever you happen to be. You can access your music collection from home. And so what started out as a somewhat small collection of content has just absolutely grown to be something that you could spend hours and hours with and still not explore everything that you had.
Wow, that is super. And that's part of, you're doing a contest with ACB Radio now.
We are, absolutely. We're going to give a whole lot of cool stuff away on the Marlena show around Labor Day. And we're giving away an Asus EEE PC. It's one of these ultra-mobile, ultra-portable PCs. It's a tiny little computer. So we're giving away that. We're giving away System Access Mobile, along with 4 years of access to the SA Mobile Network.
How many
years? Four.
Wow.
And if that wasn't enough, then you also get a Victor Reader Stream and a Zenstone MP3 player, which is just a tiny screenless MP3 player, which is accessible right out of the box.
And this is all one person is getting
all
this?
One person, one lucky person is going to get
goodness.
This huge amount of stuff.
Wow. And I'm not eligible because I work with ACB Radio.
And I'm not eligible either. Otherwise, I'd be saying I'd love to have that Asus
PC.
But tell me, isn't it better to have her as an interviewee than me? Oh,
no.
Listen, she's, you're
more than me. She's much nicer than me.
Well, wow. Yeah, there's no question about that. But
oh, see,
you know.
See how she is? See? Give them an inch and they'll take a yard, man.
Well, I'm just real proud to see what you, you know, you guys have really kept on going with lots of stuff.
One of the big things I just wanted to interject, yeah. And it's not to steal Ricky's thunder at all, but it was to say that, you know, one of the big things that we're really trying to promote this year is the fact that one of the things, Debbie, that we have here is we have several ultra-mobile PCs, very small PCs, mm-hmm. that you can access with us or with any other screen reader, except for the fact that to access it with any other screen reader, it's going to cost you well over $800 mm-hmm. in some and $1,100 with others. And these PCs are all under $400. There's something wrong with that picture. And really, Serotech is trying to make a difference by bringing accessible software that's at an accessible price to a community that really needs it. We believe that accessibility is a right, and we believe that corporates need to do their part. But at the same time, we need to flex our financial muscle and make sure that corporate entities see us as a viable consumer group. And as long as we have a community of haves and have-nots when it comes to adaptive technology, because they're too far, they're priced out of the market, you know, that we're not going to ever be able to be recognized as a viable consumer group. And that is really what we're here to promote. Yes, accessibility is a right. Yes, we provide system access to go, and with our new keys for K-12 program, which I don't know if you know about.
Tell me.
But I'll tell you about it in a second. You know, we're doing what we believe is important to stimulate the community. But at the same time, the community needs to take the initiative and say, you know, I have this screen reader or I have that screen reader, but screen readers aren't a religion, y'all. I mean, it's not like you can only have one. And when it comes to Serotech, we don't demand that you pay homage to only our screen reader or our technology. We really want to see people using the tools that need to be used. And I'm sick and tired of seeing agencies that go out there and prescribe this screen reader, yes. and say this is what it is and that's it. This is not, we're not dealing with a Xerox or a Kleenex, you know. Mm-hmm. That those names are not synonymous for screen reader. A screen reader is a screen reader, and there are many of them out on the market. And it's our job as consumers to be proactive and go out and say, you know, this is what I want, this is what it does for me, and this is how I'm going to benefit from it. And if the agencies don't want to buy it for you, that's why we sell it for $24.95 a month as a service, so that we can do for ourselves. Because the only people that are going to pay the price for us are us.
So if somebody already has those other screen readers,
right.
what can you do for them? Let's say, you know, somebody says, wow, I've already got my other things.
Right.
What can you do for me?
Well, the thing is that, first of all, none of those others give you accessibility anywhere. And yes, you can do that with SA2Go, but, you know, if we give you SA2Go, you'll have a screen reader anywhere you go by going to www.satogo.com, and that'll be great. And for some people, that's enough. That's all they ever need. Hey, that's our gift to you. God bless you. But if you want to be able to connect back to your home computer and use those other screen readers remotely, if you want to be able to do many of the things that the mainstream community takes for granted, mm-hmm. that those other AT companies that are stuck in the blind ghetto don't give you access to, then that's where you need to come to us. We are totally focused on giving blind folks the same level of experience, be it accessibility, be it cost, that they're going to get from their sighted counterparts on the other side of the digital divide, if you will. If we don't start getting out there and making our voices heard in places like MySpace, places like Friendster and LinkedIn and Facebook, we're never going to be recognized as a viable market. Mm-hmm. And for $24.95 a month as our software as a service, it's a small price to pay to add to your AT toolbox.
No base. That's it.
$24.95 a month. You go to our website. It's $24.95. Boom.
Wow.
And that's it. And yes, there's a 4-year commitment. But at the end of the 4 years, then you pay simply, you know, $129 a year for access to the network. And that's and what you do with that is you have all of our updates, not 2 or 3 a year, whatever we provide. And you also have all of the different web services, whatever they are, and your price for maintenance is locked in for life. So, you know, there's a lot
okay,
going on.
Okay, folks, looks as though we are ready. So, it's over to Jay Darmler, who is going to host the show for us this evening. This is ACB Mainstream, and you're listening to the Candidates Forum.
All right, thanks very much. And before I turn things over Mr. Paul, do you have a messaging message?
We do. If you have any questions for the candidates, it's convention@acbradio.org via email or MSN. That's convention@acbradio.org.
I had enough experience the other night with it.
Good evening, everybody. This is the ACB Candidates Forum, live from the Grand Ballroom of the Golf House Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the ACB Candidates Forum, hosted by the ACB Board of Publications. And now, I'm pleased to introduce the chairman of the Board of Publications, former president of ACB, Mr. Paul Edwards.
Thank you, Jay Doudna, and good night, everyone. We're done. I suspect the candidates would actually like that. Jay Doudna is the voice that everyone is familiar with hearing, running Candidates Forum for the last several years at ACB. And so I'm particularly glad that Jay has been prepared to step in and help with the transition. And I hope he'll continue to help us every year, because his participation in the Candidates Forum is immensely helpful. Well, what we're going to do this time is, or at least to start with, is to go through and let each candidate have an opportunity to introduce him or herself, and I'll kind of introduce them, but they'll have a minute to tell you a little bit about themselves and perhaps something about why it is they're seeking either to continue or to start anew on the quest for either a board or board of publications position. We actually have 9 candidates here, so for some of you who are listening, and for most people at the convention, we actually have one extra candidate who has just decided that she's going to run and has therefore determined that that we will hear from her. But you'll only figure out who that is when we get to her. That'll keep people listening for the first little while anyway. And I have actually been pretty arbitrary and obnoxious and arranged the candidates in alphabetical order. So they're back in kindergarten now, arranged as they should be, and they're going to stay that way. So to start with, then, we're going to begin by hearing from each of the 5 board members, and after you've finished speaking, just go ahead and pass the mic. What I'm going to do, when you get close to a minute, that is when you're at 45 seconds, I will let you know that you have 15 seconds left. And I'm going to be pretty arbitrary and obnoxious about cutting people off at the 1 minute mark. So you can expect that to happen. I'll growl and do all sorts of bad things. And if absolutely necessary, I'll throw things. So that's correct. I will attempt to aim so that I don't permanently maim a member of the audience. So our first candidate for the board position,
in alphabetical order,
is someone who is new to the board and someone who comes from the great state of Washington. and it gives me great pleasure to introduce, to start us off this evening, Mr. Burl Cauley.
Thank you, Paul. I want to say hello to everybody here and appreciate this opportunity to speak to you. I do come from Olympia, Washington, which is about 60 miles south of Seattle. My family background, my wife Denise, 3 daughters, 7 grandchildren. I'm retired for 5 years. I retired from a job with an Ohio company called OCLC, and I was a probably euphemistically a senior software developer. I'm running for the board of directors, as Paul mentioned, and I have been a member of this organization for some 20 years, since 1988. Joined in Little Rock, and I've served on a number of committees, the Resource Committee, the Environmental Access Committee, and the Convention Committee on and off for 11 years. As ADA person and as tour coordinator. I've served as president of the Washington Council of the Blind for 4 years. And we'll get into some of the other questions having finances and so on as time goes on. Marcia.
Thank you, Burl. And the next person that we'll hear from is another new candidate. And it just happens that they're early in the alphabet. So we'll actually hear from two of our new candidates in a row from the great state of Georgia. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Marcia Farrow.
Thank you, Paul, and hello out there in ACB Radio Land. I am Marcia Farrow from Georgia, from a little small town called Somerville, Georgia. And I am married and have two grown children and a little grandson, almost 2 years old. I am a master's level certified vision rehab therapist and have already retired from the state of Georgia, where I worked in the mental health and human services profession there for 25 years. I have served with the late Ralph Sanders on the publication committee at the ACB level, but mostly my work at the national conventions have been as the affiliate president, which I was in Georgia for 4 years, being the first female president ever elected in Georgia. So there's a lot of things that I know that I will learn, but I also believe I'll bring some new experience to the board as well.
Thank you. And our next candidate also happens to be new. It really is interesting how this worked out. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you as our third candidate and our third new candidate for the board of directors, Mr. Michael Garrett.
Thank you, Paul, and also hello out there in ACB Radio Land. I am Michael Garrett. I'm from Texas, and I'm what I consider a long-time member of ACB, about 17 years, and I've served the organization at the state, local, and national levels. Currently, I'm serving as the ACBES chair. I've served on the scholarship committee, the multicultural committee, the resource development committee, and the investment committee. Running for the board because I just want to broaden my scope of service. I'm excited about the direction that this organization is going. I'm optimistic about our achieving our goals, and I want the support of the membership, and I pledge to serve this organization to the best of my ability, to lend my qualifications and experience from the financial and investment management areas.
Thank you. The first of our returning board members is someone from Arlington, Virginia, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to everyone Ms. Billie Jean Keith.
Hello. Well, I'm from Arlington, Virginia now, but I started out in Winona, Mississippi, so I speak Southern. I've been involved with ACB for 25 years, and during that time, I was lucky enough and honored to be the president of the Mississippi affiliate of ACB, and that just really got me so intrigued about this whole nation of blind people who come together every year for a convention, and they have all these committees and all these many conventions of blind teachers, blind lawyers, and I just really went for it. And because I'm a loud mouth, sort of, and talk a lot, I was appointed to committees and just got more and more and more excited. And I think the last thing I did that I think is significant was serve as chair of the Rehab Issues Task Force.
15 seconds.
And when I learned that they wanted me to be the chair because they were all rehab professionals, I wondered why the heck they were doing that. And I found out that none of them wanted to be the chair, and I was it. But we came out with a white paper that was wonderful. The primary author, Brownie Point, was Paul Edwards. And it is a wonderful document. And I have other stuff to say, too, but thank you.
You're welcome. And the last of our board office seekers that we know about at the moment anyway is Mr. David Trott from the great state of Alabama. David?
Thank you. I am David Trott. I've been on the board of directors now for 4 years. I'm seeking my second term. I've been a member of ACB since 1978, and for 25 of those years, I've been married to a very lovely woman, real lucky, been blessed. You might know her. She runs the ACB store. I serve as chair of the Resource and Development Committee. One of the things I hope to bring back to the board if I'm reelected is a strong background in finance and a love of working on membership. I think that membership is critical in our organization right now, and I think we've got to do a lot of development in that area. One of the things that I hope to bring to the board is a strategic plan where we look at our strengths, our weaknesses, the threats to ACB, and set goals to alleviate any of the problems that we may have.
Ooh, excellent. You actually didn't take all of your time. I'm impressed, David. That's wonderful. So we're actually electing to two bodies tonight. There's our board of directors, which you've heard from the folks who are actually running for that board for the first time. But we're also electing three positions in the board of publications. And there are actually four people running for those three positions. And the first of those four, and fate is still with us, happens as well to be a newcomer to the Board of Publications and our most recently determined candidate for a Board of Publications position. From the great state of Massachusetts, with 1 minute to tell a little about herself, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Marcia Dresser.
Thank you, Paul. Hi, everyone. I'm a little nervous. I've never done this before. I am Marcia Dresser. I'm from Reading, Massachusetts, north of Boston. I am a teacher of visually impaired students. I am a voracious reader and a Braille junkie. I have been a member of ACB since 1978 and have been active for the last 20 years or so. I have been editor of three newsletters for ACB, the Massachusetts one, the Connecticut, and National Association of Blind Teachers, so I do know something about editorial policy. I used to work at the Connecticut Radio Information System, which is their radio reading service, when I was there for 15 years, and I currently host a show, a monthly show, called Council Connection in Massachusetts.
15 seconds.
I would like to serve on the Board of Publications. I would like to contribute where I can. I think I have a strength in the areas of editing and publishing, and I just want to do the best for ACB.
Thank you very much, Marcia. And the next candidate for the Board of Publications is running to return to the Board of Publications. He isn't currently a member, but he certainly is familiar with the Board of Publications from the great state of Virginia. It gives me pleasure to introduce Mr. Charlie Hodge.
I'd like to thank the Board of Publications for hosting this candidates forum and for allowing us to be able to speak not only to those gathered here but through ACB Radio, which is a communication project of the Board of Publications, to the world, throughout the country and to the world. Yes, I have served on the Board of Publications previously for two terms, as an elected member, then as chairman, then as the other appointed member. I left the Board of Publications last year at the Minneapolis Convention, and I still continue a lot of interest in the Braille Forum, of course, but also in the other communication projects and communication formats within the jurisdiction of the BOP.
15 seconds.
I think I have the kind of experience in working on these challenges. I want to be a team player, and I certainly would like to the chance, once again, to work with Paul Edwards and Janine Stanley, the appointed members, and the other elected members who will be elected at this convention. Thank you very much.
The next person you'll hear from is from the great state of Texas and is seeking office on the Board of Publications for the first time. Gives me pleasure to introduce to all of you Ms. Judy Jackson.
Thank you, Paul. Good evening. I'm so honored to have the opportunity to speak to you at least one more time. I'm sure that most of you, if not all in this room, have heard us throughout the day. And what I want to tell you, and I apologize, I swallowed wrong just a moment ago, and something in my throat, so I apologize. At any rate, I want to talk to you in just the few seconds that I have left and tell you that my tenure in ACB has been a short one compared to the persons that you've heard speak thus far. However, I don't think I ever crawled or walked when I joined ACB. I think I started at a sprint, and it's just been a never-ending sprint. And I absolutely have enjoyed my relationship with ACB these 10 years and through
15 seconds
time. I come to you with lots of enthusiasm. I have lots of ideas. I am excited about getting our internet presence for ACB out there. I have some ideas that, if elected, that I will discuss with our current chair of the BOP. And I just want to tell you that I'm excited to work for you, the members of ACB, and I'll not stop. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy. The last person we'll hear from this evening is a current member of the Board of Publications who is seeking a second term on the board, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to all of you, from the great state of New York, Mr. Ken Stewart.
Thank you very much. Ken Stewart, batting cleanup. It's a pleasure for me to serve this wonderful organization every way I possibly can, in addition to completing my elected two-year term and seeking another elected two-year term on the Board of Publications. I'm a past president of CCLVI. I'm the founder and current president of the CCLVI chapter in Metropolitan New York. Serve on the Environmental Access Committee, a member of the Voting Task Force, and a member of the Internet Oversight Committee. And I have to say that the last year, most recent year on the Board of Publications has been extremely satisfying. We've been accomplishing so much, and the board has been so receptive to my ideas. And I've also had the honor of representing the Board of Publications as the ex officio member from that board on the Board of Directors for the year, which included the responsibility of reporting on every meeting of the ACB Board of Directors. And I have determined that every single one of my reports would get immediately into the Braille form so that there would be a minimum of time delay so that the whole membership would know about all the great things that the Board of Directors has been doing, too. So that's been a great pleasure for me.
15 seconds.
I bring to the organization experience as a writer. I write in addition to the Braille Forum. I'm a columnist in the Dialogue magazine. I'm a regular columnist in Vision Access magazine. I've been published in Braille in the Blind Californian and in my local newspaper. So I do hopefully can contribute with those skills also. Thank you very much.
Cool. So now we have actually heard from all of the folks who are seeking office this evening. Now I get to ask them a few questions, and then with Jay's help, we're going to let the audience ask questions. And of course, if those of you who are tuned in on ACB Radio have a question that you'd like to ask, I know Chrissy has given you a messaging option, and if we do get a question, really at any time, Chrissy, once we're at the beginning of a question, we will take that question and interrupt what we're doing here to give the folks on ACB Radio an opportunity to fully participate. I want to say two things to the candidate. You're under no obligation to use all of your time, nor are you really under any obligation to answer all of the questions. But what we're going to try to do is to give you an opportunity to to answer if you like. And the first question that I'm going to ask actually is probably one that will apply to everyone. And I think we're going to start the answer to the question with David Trott, and we'll go backwards through the board first, and then we'll pass it all the way down to Ken Stewart and go backwards through the Board of Publications as well. So here's the question. What qualities do you feel are most important in a board member or a member of the Board of Publications?
First of all, I think you've got to have a dedication to ACB. It's certainly not a financial gain to be there. You need to bring some kind of expertise to the board or the Board of Publication. You also need to have a good understanding of the day-to-day business of ACB and keep up with what's going on and be current in the current events of ACB, because if you're not, you can't be an effective board member.
So pass it to the person next to you going for the board, Mr. Trott. And off you go.
Well, I think you probably ought to be there for a couple of years to listen and learn rather than think you can reinvent the wheel. And ACB has been going for 47 years. And I haven't been around that long, but certainly my 25 years, I was so enthusiastic when I first came here that I just sort of volunteered to do just about everything there was to volunteer to do, including information. And I think ACB has a way of providing a forum for networking with people. It's led me to career opportunities that have been way beyond anything I ever thought I would be able to achieve as a kid who was visually impaired from Mississippi. So, and also, I met my husband at ACB. So that's those are all pretty good things. I do think ACB has some very dynamic people.
15 seconds.
And I enjoy being with you. I enjoy working on the local level. I am very active in my local chapter in Northern Virginia. And, in fact, we started, our little group started the raffle that has come back to help the Braille Forum for years. And I'm still selling those tickets. I got two more left to sell for my today's quota. And I just...
Time? Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Garrett.
There you go, Michael.
In terms of qualities of a board member, I would echo similar comments to what Mr. Trott has already said. But in addition, I think that a board member should have a spirit of teamwork, willingness to work with others, but yet maintain an independent thinking spirit. Also, be willing to try to think out of the box. I think that's very important in these days and times when sometimes the same old way of doing business is not, well, the saying goes, if you do everything the same old way, you'll always get the same old results. So we have to in ACB learn to think out of the box, but yet be willing to work together and be willing to express ourselves.
Thank you. Marcia Farrow, what qualities would you like to mention?
I believe that a person serving on any board, and certainly the board of ACB, must be a team player. I think that we need to be people who can accept criticism. We need to be people who will do the right thing, even if it's not popular. I believe that as a board member, I am a good listener. I would continue to be a good listener and to accept the ideas of other people and to learn from those who have been there much longer than I have. And I want to take a little statement from what our gentleman legislator said the other day, that in order to be a positive person, that you want to gain the respect of respectable people.
15 seconds. All right. Thank you. Mr. Cawley, what qualities ought a board member to have?
Listening to what people want you to understand is a key element of being a board member and representing the constituency of the American Council of the Blind. In addition, as serving on the board, when you agree with what a speaker is saying, to not have to make another statement of your own just to show that you can make a statement. So that would be team playing. And the other aspect of it is if you don't agree with the general sense of the discussion at any given time, to be willing to call for the floor from the president and say, that's not the way I feel about it or see it, or I have been told others feel about it, and make that point to the rest of the board.
Thank you. Could we pass the mic all the way down to Ken Stewart? And Ken, you get to tell us, if you would, what qualities you think a person ought to have to be an appropriate member of the Board of Publications.
Thank you, Paul. Yes. One of the important attributes, I think, for any member of the Board of Publications is a clear understanding of the philosophical underpinnings of a democratic organization. Our Constitution and bylaws establishes the Board of Publications as a separate body from the Board of Directors with very conscious intentions to have us independent enough to protect the freedom of the press and to encourage and guard that there be civil discourse and there be an open arena of a points of view, exchange of diverse opinions, and I think understanding that is very basic to the work of the Board of Publications. I commend the founders of the organization that established the Board of Publications with two appointed members by the president and three elected members directly from the membership at large. And of course, communication skills, listening, writing, speaking, very important for communication all the way to every single member in the organization and all the way back to us, too, constantly. High quality, high quantity of communication.
Time.
Thank you.
Ms. Jackson.
Yes, sir. All right. As I was thinking through this question, I wrote down about seven qualities. And, of course, I agree with what's previously been said, but let me just list these for you. I think enthusiasm is critical, commitment to the process. You've got to be innovative, particularly on a board like BOP. You've got to have follow-through. You've got to be able to be a team player. You have to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. You have to believe in ACB. You have to know that we do have freedom of speech and freedom of the press, and we are going to the commitment that I make to you as a candidate and hopefully as an elected member is that I will listen to you and I will be looking to you for your issues, because I'm going to be encouraging you, the member of ACB, to write and get articles published, because that's how we're going to get more articles in the forum. That's how we're going to get our publications going. And then the last thing I would add is we want to be able to be accessible to everyone, and that means getting our Spanish speakers on board.
Thank you, Judy. Mr. Hodge.
I think one of the qualities is that you have to be, as an elected member of the BOP, you are elected by the convention, by the membership, and you have to be willing to listen to the membership. ACB is a grassroots organization from the bottom up. And therefore, when it comes to our communication formats, not only the Braille Forum, but others as well, we have, as elected members, have to listen and try to be good listeners to what the membership is telling us. Also, within the board itself, I think there has to be a collegiality where the board works together.
And 15 seconds.
That's why I say I want to be a team player. And I know that I worked, for instance, when I was on the BOP with Ken Stewart in one of the latest revisions of the editorial policy manual. And I would want to be a team player.
Thank you, Charlie. And last but not least on this question, Ms. Marcia Dresser from the great state of Massachusetts.
Thank you. Well, I think my colleagues have just about covered it, but
It's very important, besides dedication to ACB, that a person on a board be a good listener to the person, the people on our boards, and also especially the membership. Enthusiasm for the work is essential, a willingness to take on all tasks, even the ones that aren't your favorite. It's important to express your opinion, even if it might be unpopular, but also to learn from the membership and learn from the members on the board and maintain an open mind and to stretch myself.
Excellent. And, sorry, go ahead.
And I'm hoping another thing that's really important in the BOP is to make certain that those people without computers are able to get our message, as well as the people who do have computers.
Thank you very much. We actually do have a question from the Internet, and so to tell us about that question, it gives me great pleasure to recognize Chrissy from ACB Radio.
Thank you very much, Paul. We have a question from Mr. Frank Welt of San Francisco, California, who says that he, and I summarize here, he says that he believes the board should be have great expertise in corporate governance, fundraising, and expertise in corporate and tax law as it applies to non-profit organizations. Which of these skills do the candidates bring or would bring, and how would they seek to improve them? This, of course, is directed to the candidates for the board of directors.
So this question actually is just for the board members this time, and we'll have some that are specifically designed for the BOP as well, I'm sure. So let's go ahead and begin with Burl again and go in that direction.
I have some experience at the state level in conducting and setting up fundraisers, and I have some experience in the corporate activity of an affiliate, such as the Washington Council of the Blind. But I think the most important thing is that, in my case, I do not bring any expertise to the board. I bring a knowledge of where that expertise is in our organization and would be more than willing to go and tap into that to find out what their ideas are and bring that back to the president and the board.
Thank you very much. Marcia?
Yes. Being at the local level and at the affiliate level, I have been involved in fundraising events and dealing with the IRS and tax issues and learning from the experts. I am not an expert myself, but I have learned and have sought information from those around me who are experts. I believe working for the state of Georgia for many, many years, I learned a lot about corporate activities and how that funding sources are so essential to nonprofit organizations and some of the rules and regulations that go with those, that whole environment. So I do have much to learn, but I certainly understand the language and the background and will be able to move forward fairly quickly, I believe.
Thank you, Marcia. Michael?
I'm not going to claim expertise in any particular field, but I will claim experience. Having worked in the investment community for a large corporation for 27 years, 27 of my 28-year career, I was confronted with corporate governance, having served on a number of nonprofit boards, including state agencies. I've been confronted with corporate governance of such agencies, having served
15 seconds.
In the financial industry. I have been involved in a myriad of financial fundraising projects, so I have some experience in those areas, and I hope to bring that experience and lend that to ACB.
Billie Jean, would you like to jump in?
I would, and I'm probably the least
financially knowledgeable person that you will ever meet, but I do always pay my Visa bills every month, so I don't have interest. But when I was in Mississippi, it became apparent, and I was the president there, it became apparent that we needed to have our tax-exempt status. And I recruited a gentleman, a lawyer, who offered to spend time doing our tax-exempt, and I sat in his office for 3 days while he wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and then one day he lifted his head and he said, "Where are all your financial records?" And I said, they were under the bed of the former president and they got buried in a flood. She got flooded out and we don't have any. And he just laughed. And then he wrote and wrote and wrote. And then 6 months later, we had our tax-exempt status in Mississippi. And apparently I'm still on the records as their person of note when the Secretary of State needs to do something. But and also they have a very successful financial program now that provides a lot of benefits to Mississippians who are blind. They really have done more than any state I know.
Time?
Oh, I can't tell you about Virginia, but
nope.
I will.
And now we get to hear from our final candidate. Sir, Mr. Trott.
I was going to say, let me tell you about Virginia, but I've never been there. I bring not necessarily an expertise, but I bring a background in finance and accounting from running my own business successfully for nearly 30 years. And I've worked with government and corporate structure through the Alabama Industries for the Blind in setting up programs and working on the annual budget of the Alabama Industries for the Blind and that type of thing that I've worked with. So I think that my background is probably there. I won't say that I bring an expertise.
Thank you, David. And now we've heard from the board with the answer to that question. It's probably time for us to give the Board of Publications an opportunity to answer one by themselves. And we will start again at the beginning of the alphabet and go in that direction this time. So what I'd like to ask members of the Board of Publications is to tell us something about what new things you would expect the Board of Publications to have accomplished over the next 5 years.
Well, I would hope that we could, as I said before, lessen the divide between people who have computers and people who do not. I would like to see our free press in the forum and our other publications to continue. And I think I'll move along to the next person because I'm still learning about all of this.
Those are my
Mr. two
Hodge.
Main things.
Well, I think because of the ever-expanding and ever-changing universe of our various communication formats, we'll have big challenges. And I would hope that in the next 5 years, ACB could, and the Board of Publications could get to a point where we can broaden and expand. The new modern technologies are going to be horizon expanders in many ways. And we have to find a way to adapt and portray blind people as competent, independent, and people who should rightfully have their place in our blindness community and in society as a whole.
Ms. Jackson.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Yes, again, I've come up with a list of things. I'll talk to you about those. One of the first things that I'd like to see us do, starting now and over the next 5 years, is to get our publications into the Spanish language. I'm a fluent reader and writer of Spanish, so I know that I can and will be a very good source for that. I want our internet presence to become even stronger. I want to encourage you, the members, to write more articles, as I stated earlier. This year, Paul and his committee instituted a workshop that was hosted by BOP, and it was the BOP and ACB Radio. I thought that was really good. I learned a lot at that workshop yesterday, and so I'd like to see us continue those kinds of workshops like that. I want to look for different types of awards. This year, the BOP gave away the first Hollis Liggett Award, if my memory serves me correctly. I'd like for us to find other ways to do that.
15 seconds.
Okay. Then I think my Braille note isn't advancing, and I had one other one, and it has escaped me for the moment. But if I think about it, the next round I'll tell you what it is.
Well, we appreciate.
And then Billie Jean can tell you about Virginia.
We appreciate it. And last but not least, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I am future-oriented, and I'm very pleased to feel that the Board of Publications is moving in very valuable and important directions, one of which is to raise the profile of the Board of Publications so the membership knows more about us, knows how we operate, what we're trying to do for the membership. I was honored to represent the Board of Publications at the mid-year president's meeting describing the Board of Publications. I also, with the Board of Publications blessing, spoke at the California Council of the Blinds, its semiannual convention in Sacramento in April, to describe what we're doing, what we're trying to do. I think that's extremely important. The Board of Publications has been very supportive of my idea to have open conference calls with the membership, and that is tentatively scheduled for October. You'll be hearing more about that, but a chance for any member who wants to have a direct contact with the Board of Publications. Let us know what their needs are, what their wants are. I think it's so important for us to connect with all of the members in the organization. I'm the author of the Resolution 0515 called the Digital Divide, getting great support from the Board of Publications in pursuing that, trying to minimize the disadvantage for people that are not able to easily communicate through the Internet. There's a new telephone system coming in the National Office. We're getting very good vibes from the National Office staff about how that can be utilized much more for all members to get whatever information they need and to get back to us with things we need to hear from them. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go back to another board question, I think, and we'll start in the center this time. I think perhaps with Billie Jean this time. So, Billie Jean, if you would, could you tell us what you believe is the most important negative crisis currently facing ACB and what you would do about it as a board member?
The most current negative crisis. I have all my life been, the best things have happened when I've been positive. I'm trying to think the negative. I guess the negative have been when we hear some of the prototypes in the press about blind people not being able to do this or do that, or because they're blind, they haven't been able to get a good education or have access to information. And, of course, we know that that is not true, but sometimes to counteract some of that negative publicity, it just takes a whole heap of positive reinforcement, I suppose. And that's pretty hard sometimes because people have a tendency to look at a blind person and just see this person isn't living the way we all think we should live. And it's not our fault. We didn't do it. It's just a perception, and it kind of is an attitude.
15 seconds.
A person who's blind is not necessarily going to be a successful person. And I think every day when we show people that we are capable of doing that job, and I've done it in a lot of jobs I had, and I really feel good about some of the jobs I did, that people came up to me and said, we didn't think a blind person could do that. And I said, well, here I am. And I do think it's just proving one by one that we can take on projects and carry them through successfully with the right kind of technology and knowledge and ability and
time.
Attitude.
Mr. Garrett.
Negative crisis. Let me relabel this because I don't want to call it a negative crisis, but let me relabel it and say critical issue. I think one
such
of
a diplomat.
I think one of the critical issues facing ACB is the composition of our membership, and that takes the shape of many of us, and myself included, and I hate to admit that, but I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I want to know to whom we shall pass the mantle. There should be a wellspring of what I consider younger members in that 20-something, 30-something, 40-something levels that we have nurtured and encouraged and who are excited about taking on the issues that ACB has supported and has championed and who can grasp those and keep running. I love relays, and I think that we are in that position now, and we need to have that. We need to work toward
time.
That.
You guys are so good. I'm really impressed with how quickly you shut up when I tell you to. It gives me an immense feeling of power, I've got to tell you. It's very good. Ms. Farrow, talk to us about a negative crisis and what you do about it.
I guess I'm a little bit like Michael here. I don't know that crisis totally describes the strong concern that I have, but I believe that the board of ACB needs to be more, what is the word I'm looking for? It needs to have more representation of culture. And I believe I was so excited when Cammie came on the board because of her young age, and I believe that ACB and our affiliates need to reflect the interest in the younger generation as well as to become more multicultural and interracial as you know, just all across the nation.
Thank you, Mr. Colley.
Paul, I would not deal with crisis because I think ACB has dealt with anything that might be crisis at this level. We're dealing with issues that are of concern to our membership and should be of concern to our board of directors and membership, and that is, number one, advocacy. We need to continue to be advocates for blind people all throughout America. The efforts that we're seeing out of our D.C. office in behalf of some of the legislation that is currently in the hopper are excellent, but our membership doesn't always respond like it should. We need to understand that we are an advocacy. That should be our priority organization.
15 seconds.
Right now, we are probably the organization more than any other organization that speaks and advocates for blind people.
Thank you very much. Let's do another question. Kind of.
What about Mr. Trott?
Oh, I don't know. Should we let him answer? David, I'm very sorry. Please do give us your response. What do you think is the most serious negative crisis, and what would you do about it?
First of all, I'm one of the ones that agree with you. I think we are in a crisis situation. I think the crisis is membership. I'll give you for an example. 4 years ago, President Gray announced to this group we were an organization of 23,000-plus members. Just this week, President Pomerantz announced to this organization that we were an organization of 20,000-plus members. That is a good drop in that short a period of time. What I would do about it? First of all, I would go first to my young group of professionals, our NAOBS group, and solicit their help and their input. Next, I would go to our local rehab agencies because they send people to conferences all the time, and we could use that as a recruiting tool. And thirdly, I would bring it to the board and ask the board to bring the membership committee together and us work on a program for convention that would be more open and more friendly to younger people and ask us to give of our time to mentor these young people because we do need...
15 seconds?
We do need... I've got time from before. You done forgot about that? We do need young people in this organization, and a lot of us are gray-headed today, so we do need to really look at that, and I do believe it's a crisis situation. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And again, I apologize for leaving you out. It wasn't intentional, I assure you. Okay, let's start with a question, and let's make this a question for everyone. And we'll start, I think, with... I think we'll start with Judy Jackson as the with the answer to this question. And the question is, what do you believe is the kind of public image that ACB ought to project to the rest of the world?
I was almost keeping up with you word for word. I think that the image that ACB should project to the rest of the world is that everybody matters and everybody's ideas matter. And somehow we can incorporate your ideas. Nobody's idea is worthless or countless. We don't dismiss people. We take, you know, here in ACB, our process in resolutions is that everybody's resolution is important, and then we work to craft it so that it works. And I love that process because that makes people feel like they matter and they're going to listen to you. And then what that does is it empowers you to come back. Countless times this week, we have talked to people on the phone who have submitted resolutions to us who have never submitted them, and they've said, you guys really care about what we think. And then, you know, Paul writes the resolution for them in about 15 seconds. They go, yeah, that's it. And it happens. But it's the image that we portray that says, you know what, you matter. Is this what you're trying to say? Okay, great. And then we move forward. And as I said, then everybody becomes empowered.
Okay, let's let Marcia try this one.
Sorry. Marcia?
That is Marcia Dresser.
Oh, Marcia. we have
Zoom. Mic's running back and forth.
I think Marcia Farrell and I had a discussion once that our names are different. What kind of image should we project? I think it's important that we project to the world that blind folks are capable, confident, and that we have a right and a duty and a responsibility to take our place in the world and contribute to the world. I have to echo what Judy says, that everyone's idea is important, that every idea should be considered. And I think...
Very good. let's ask Mr. Hodge.
I think it is important that... ACB as an organization speaks for all the blind. We should not in any way discount people. I agree with a lot of what Ken Stewart has been promoting about the digital divide. I'm not a techie. People like Paul Edwards certainly have greater skills when it comes to adaptive equipment and information technology than I do. I get by with, I'm not a geek. I can do emails at home and post things to our lists and so forth, but I'm not a techie. But I think that we have to realize that we have a broad membership. People do count. Not all people are the same. And we have to try to give everyone a chance, an opportunity to achieve their rightful place in our community and in our society at large.
Thank you. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you very much. It's a very, very valuable question, one that deserves really 4 hours of thought before speaking rather than 4 minutes, but just off the top of my head, like everybody had to do. Certainly part of what we need to project is that we're an organization that looks out for each other. We have a variety of very different people, but we're all caring for each other and helping each other in any way we can in a very supportive way. We need to project that we're an organization of competent people, and we're an organization that will defend our rights and assure our equality in the larger society. And I think those are all extremely important things for us to do. I think we're doing them very well, and I feel very good about that we're moving in the direction to do all of those things even better. We're a variety of people, all with important values and helping each other and making a huge contribution to the rest of the society, too. Thank you.
Very good. Let's ask Marcia Farrow about the image she thinks that ACB should be projecting.
Thank you. My answer comes from my personal life as well as from being a rehab therapist. I believe that we need to accept people with all levels of vision loss. All that we have to understand that some people who are interested in ACB have maybe never even met another person who is blind, and all of a sudden they find themselves with severe vision loss. We have people who are deafblind, people who have other types of disabilities along with vision loss. I think we need to indicate that while we are going ahead with our lives and living our lives as people with vision loss, that we are very much interested in the cure and the reasons that people lose their vision, and that we want to understand the sort of the medical background of vision loss as well.
Mr. Trott.
Oh, you're not.
I think ACB should portray us as individuals who may have special needs, but we're a good neighbor, that we work just like everybody else, that we have friends and family just like everybody else, that we make excellent dinner companions, and that we just want to be a part of the community. And as long as those needs are met, that we're just the good old boy or good old girl next door.
Very good. Thank you for that answer. And let's hear from Billie Jean Keith. Wrong again.
Yeah, he was guessing, wasn't he? Well, I had the privilege for 1 year of working in the ACB office, and I learned so much about the population of blind people in the country. And it comes also from Microsoft, who did a survey and told us at one of our conventions that only 18% of blind people in the country are computer adaptable or literate. And so they didn't, at that time it was sort of a negative look at us, I think. I perceived it at that. And in my job when I was at ACB, I answered phones from people who never heard anything except through the Braille Forum. And I got to learn how important 80% of blind people that we talk to or that are in our country don't have access to the instant communication we have. And I think that gives a different perception of blind people, and I think it's so important to keep that
15 seconds
in mind. And I really am struck by that, and it's made me think we should have more ways of communicating. And with the new telephone system that ACB is going to get, with the new office, we will be able to help that some, but I would still like us to remember the 80% of people who don't get on a listserv and communicate every day.
From the city of Brotherly Coffee, Mr. Burl Colley.
Third time's the charm. I'm going to drop your verbiage, Paul. Project to the world. The world is listening to some extent right now, and I want the world to know that the American Council of the Blind cares about you as a blind person or a visually impaired person, and we care about the quality of life, whether that quality of life has to do with health care that blind people don't receive, or whether that has the quality of life is here in the United States, where we're working on access issues, information access issues, safety issues in our streets. You just should know that the American Council of the Blind cares about you and wants to assist in any way we can.
Thank you very much. Jay, can we see if a member of the audience might have a question? If you've got a question, if you...
Well, we left Michael Garrett out, Paul.
I never would leave Michael Garrett out.
And if you do have a question before Michael speaks, come out to the aisle over here and we'll look for you.
Michael Garrett, what sort of image would you like to see ACB project?
Yeah, see, I had time to work on this one, too, see.
Even an extra 10 seconds that I gave you by mistake.
I'd like the world to know that when it comes to approaching the issues that confront us as blind and visually impaired persons, that ACB is competent, cohesive, collaborative, cooperative, and has a can-do spirit.
Wow. Thank you, Michael. That's excellent. Do we have an audience member with
Paul,
a question?
Paul, I have a question from a listener.
And I have one from the audience.
All right. Well, the audience gets to go first.
That's all right. Enough.
Sorry, Chrissy.
That's okay.
Then we'll take your question, Chrissy.
Okay.
Okay. Good evening. Ray Campbell from Illinois. I have a question. This is for the Board of Directors candidates, and that is, ACB is in a good financial position right now. Could you name me at least two things that you would like to see done to help us maintain that financial position into the future? We know downtimes do occur. And what would you do to keep us financially strong? Thank you.
I'm sort of scared of getting things wrong again, so we're going to start with Burl.
Well, thank you, Ray. There's a couple things financially that I would, as a board member, want to see happen. I believe in the 10-to-1 rule. Right now we have reserves of a million plus. I believe that needs to be about 10 times our budget. So we should have reserves of $10 to $11 million. In addition, Oral Miller made a good point last Saturday. I believe that those ongoing activities that we have, not the one-time bequest that we've received, need to be monitored and made sure that they continue to grow and we don't let them drop because we're getting bequests and grants.
Thank you. You can just pass it down to Ms. Farrow, and we'll go down the row this time.
Thank you. I believe that we should wisely invest the surplus that we have now in some long-range investment options, and I know that we have just brought a new staff person on to help with investments and fundraising, so I do believe that we need to continue to support her. Also believe that we need to grow, and I know, you know, that's said all the time, the MMS program. I believe our own members need to believe in this organization, and we should have 100% of our members supporting ACB through the MMS program.
Mr. Garrett, I didn't leave you out this time.
Thank you. I think we should
open all the spigots where we can gain financial improvement. Our major source of or one major source is ACBES. We are working to continue to make improvements there to increase the contributions from that source. We need to broaden our other sources of income. I'm a big believer in corporate partnering relationships. I'm also a believer in the community itself contributing. And so we have those things in place. The Resource Development Committee is broadening its base. We have a new director of development, and she is building ways to increase our funding sources. So we have a lot of things going, and I believe they will be successful.
Thank you very much. Ms. Keith.
Thank you. Ray, in 3 years, you're going to be getting these questions, and I'm going to think up a good one for you. two. Time goes so fast. Yes. Well, I was so glad to see that we did take hire a new development person, because that's something we've missed for years and years. Someone who can keep up with the donations and establish a database so that we can thank people who do give us donations. And I would love to see the Braille Forum raffle become much more successful and sell all those tickets. And I will say they started in Virginia in my little chapter with about five women putting their heads together and say, let's have a raffle and raise some money for ACB. And we raised $19,000. And I'm still trying to make that happen today. And I've been involved in that raffle. But ACB itself, having a professional person doing the addresses and doing all those little things, those little courtesies that mean so much to someone who donates $5.
Time.
Thank
I'm
them.
Sorry, Billie Jean, I didn't give
That's
you 15
okay.
seconds
That's okay. I just
warning.
Wanted to say thank you.
Mr. Trott.
What I think we need to do is start working harder in the area of procuring grants. I think we need to work harder in procuring requests. I think that we need to utilize our resource director and our Resource and Development Committee to think outside of the ACB box, because we only have so many charitable dollars that we can give, and I think that we need to get more and more dependent on outside funding rather than internally.
Excellent. Thank you, David. Chrissy, your question.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to apologize to Frank Welty for the mispronunciation of his name. However, a very short but pertinent question comes from Bessie Grinovich, and she doesn't say from where she's from, but her question is, what goals do the candidates have for bringing more young people into the organization?
Ooh, what a good question. Let's start with the board, and let's go back in the other direction. We'll just go ahead and let David go first.
Okay, I'm going to kind of repeat what I said earlier. I think we need to utilize our professional organization in that area, and I think that the National Alliance of Blind Students is the professional organization in bringing new members into ACB. I think we need to work closer with our affiliates, not only at the state level, but at the local affiliate levels. And I believe that the membership that this should be a membership committee responsibility, but it also is the responsibility of not only every member, but especially every board member of the organization. I think that we need to utilize the programming at convention to be sure that it's of interest of all ages, and I think we need to utilize the rehab agencies when they send people to convention and us working recruiting in that area and in our area of scholarships. When we get a scholarship winner to this convention, we need to do everything in our power to recruit them as a member.
Thank you, David. Billie Jean.
Yes. I know that in my home state of Mississippi, we always used to bring some students to the convention. We paid their way so that they would get an experience of how democracy works, and that was quite successful, and we had some very good recruits who came along with that. I'm not sure if that's still happening there. I bet it. I imagine that it is. And in Virginia, we also do that. We try to give stipends to students to encourage them to come to our state convention, and the scholarship winners and people who are from our state, we do go and ask them to meet with us. We provide transportation, make it a way that is easy for them. But another thing about young people, especially when they're in college, they are in college. Don't want anything else outside their lives, because it just takes them all their energy to get through school, to get all their adaptations and everything they need. But just nurture them and they will come, we hope, after they're out of school. And we do get them that way. And it's just a little constant.
Time.
Constant. I'm going to finish the last word. Endeavor. Marcia just helped me out. Thank you, Marcia.
There you are. You owe her 5 seconds. Mr. Garrett.
In terms of my goal, first of all, the membership committee has put together a packet of ideas to recruit younger members. I plan to use that at the local level and state level. But it not only covers, or my hope for younger people is not only the youth, but as I said earlier, the 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and 40-somethings, but each affiliate needs to utilize some idea, and that packet is a starting point, and use the things that attract the young people in your local area. It's not a national board function. The board can't do it. Everybody else has to take a part in it. But every city, every hamlet is different, and what attracts one person in one area is different from what attracts a person in another.
Thank you, Miss Marcia Farrow.
Yes, I would like to see us, with this new phone line, offer a way for parents and families to be able to connect very easily with ACB's information. I believe if we can attract the families who have children who are visually impaired, that we will naturally grow up members. That's what happened with many of you all. I know that from hearing the history in Georgia. And also, I think, as far as like the Braille Forum, every issue really needs some type of article about a child or a family that's dealing with vision loss, or a young person that's dealing with vision loss.
Mr. Colley.
I mentioned earlier that I think, where a lot of the pockets of expertise is in the American Council of the Blind, and one of those pockets is the state of Utah. The state of Utah, a few years ago, had a very successful campaign in recruiting younger people into their organization. I would want to talk to some of the leaders of that affiliate to see what techniques they use to do that. I would then go to the NABS and ask the NABS what, not how to do it, but what are the issues that students and young people are really concerned about these days. Then I would take that, bring it to the membership committee and to the ACB board, and I would advocate
15 seconds
for a national campaign through our affiliates with a membership KIPP and through high school counselors and DSS coordinators across the country to make sure this information got to young people.
Thank you. Jay Doudna.
All right, Paul. We have three people here in the audience who asked questions. We had 7, and I told them we just really could only take 3, and they graciously accepted that, and I appreciate that a lot. We do have 3 here in the audience with a question, and this young lady's been waiting for a while. What's your question?
My name's Laura Fink, and I'm from Washington State. My question is for all of the candidates up front. Because the membership has dropped in ACB, what is your plans to be able to increase our membership in the next 3 years?
And let's start with Ken Stewart.
Could you hear somebody repeat the question, please?
I can read it to you.
Yeah, the question is, since it's been alleged that membership is dropping in ACB, what are you going to do to increase membership?
Yeah, thank you. One of the things that the Board of Publications has been working on recently is helping the membership committee develop effective brochures to convey the message of the organization to the community, the larger community. Another thing the Board of Publications has been doing, which I'm pleased to be a part of, I'm sure we have a lot more work to do with it, and that is tightening the connection between the organization and its affiliates, helping affiliates in every way, supporting their newsletters, helping them get the best possible newsletters out to reach more people, to widen our scope, to even, I can think it can even affect what's in the Braille Forum, having the Braille Forum content, the kind that will attract people that may say, hey, that's a group for me. And I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is the changing society and the context within which we're operating. We're no longer just protecting a very specialized, disadvantaged, discriminated against group. We're part of the mainstream, and I think that we can portray that in all of our communications. We're part of the mainstream, and I think that will attract some people that don't feel they need to be in a, you know, an advocacy group that's special off in a corner fighting for recognition. We have recognition. We can do more and better things for everybody in the mainstream.
Guys.
Thank you.
Ms. Jackson.
I like this question because I love to, you know, it's always a party. It's always fun to get people involved, and we can do that in ACB. We can get people involved. We can certainly get out PSAs and get those things out on the radio and the TV and get them out in English and Spanish, and if anybody knows French or German or whatever other languages we need to get it done on. Get information to about affiliates and get that information and print it in the forum and get it on the internet, as I've said a few times before. I think another way to get young kids, I know if young kids around the country are like my two daughters are, they like to eat. And so get local affiliates to do something where you have pizza and pop. And you come in and you talk about ACB and ACB and me. I recently attended an advocacy workshop that one of our local chapters did in Texas. And one of my responsibilities was to do a piece on why should I join ACB, ACB and me, what's in it for me. And
15 seconds.
And I talked about what we can do. And when you talk about the issues like identifiable paper currency, and you talk about, you know, the suit with the Social Security Administration and where we're headed there and all the different things that we're doing.
Time. Mr. Hodge.
Well, I think that with the graying of our population we've already talked about is a big contributing factor to any diminution in our membership. People are dying off. Sad, but true. And I think the thing we need to do is develop in consultation with our student affiliate, better plans to involve younger people, but then we have to inspire and keep younger people. I think we have to encourage good practices amongst our affiliate newsletter. I worked very closely on the Board of Publications with Cindy Van Winkle and others to bring the dream of the Hollis K. Liggett Award to fruition. I think the other things that we need to do is to have better mentoring. We have to encourage it at the state level, through state affiliates, and through organizations like NABS. And it really is the commitment of people themselves to take on this responsibility. I remember Delbert Ammon, who was one of our national board members, who every year would bring particularly young women who he would arrange to raise enough money to support
time.
At the convention. And all of them have become leaders in ACB.
Goodness. They are getting unruly.
Only 5 seconds.
Marcia Dresser, please.
Thank you. Well, this is a question near and dear to my heart, membership. And I'm proud to be on the membership committee and helping with those membership brochures. I think the most important thing we can do to increase membership is to work more closely with our affiliates, especially those who are struggling in this area. I left an affiliate in Connecticut, which is now in limbo, which makes me very sad, and I hope that we can resurrect that affiliate. It's important to approach our students. Being a teacher of visually impaired students, I talk to them about all the stuff ACB does, you know, accessible currency, video description, accessible pedestrian signals, all of those things. And they say, yeah, that's great. You guys just keep doing that. So we have to figure out what people want in an organization, particularly our students, because we are all getting older, and figure out what people want and provide that.
Thanks. Let's go ahead and just go on down the row with this third to last question. Then we'll go the other way for the next one.
Okay. What I would like to see happen is with membership, or what I think might be successful, is to have an annual membership month where a lot of the resources of the national would be put into working with the state affiliates, who would then in turn work with their local affiliates to build membership and work hard and focus strictly on membership for that 1 month every year, and have it the same every year where we could grow the event and have just different events around the country for membership that we could point to and have press releases from the national when we knew what was going on, say, in Alabama or California at the same time. I think this would be a good thing for us, and I think it'd be a good way to get out and have really focused effort from everybody in the organization at one time.
Yep, we can just keep on going.
Well, I think geographically I'm lucky because I live in Northern Virginia, which is just over the river from Washington, D.C., where the national office is, and we are referred, calls that come in from Virginia come to us, and it's a way to tell people they're not the only blind person in their community. We tell them about resources, and communication, again, is just so, so important. And we spend a lot of our time telling people and inviting them to meetings, and we are lucky because transportation is very good in our area. Our paratransit service is wonderful, and well, there's a lot of public transportation as well. And
15 seconds.
It is, I think, in some parts of the country, like where I came from, I never saw a taxi cab until I was 12 years old. There weren't any. I remember when mules came to town on a Saturday, and people, that's when they did their shopping. And you couldn't get to an affiliate meeting on a mule, I don't think. I never tried it. But that times have changed. Everything is changing. And Charlie, I'll tell you the hairdresser to go to if you want to know about graying, because I've got a good one. So, and Charlie lives in Arlington too, so I'm just joshing him a bit.
Goodness. Insulting people's hairstyles? I don't know. The graying of America.
Did she take part of my time? But
go for it, Mr. Garrett.
No, my answer is similar to what I said before. I think we need to take some of the things. There are some ideas out there that we can use in our local chapters and affiliates to attract the people in our areas and just bombard them with the issues if that's what attracts them, or just make them feel welcome, and hopefully we can bring them in, keep them in, excite them, encourage them, and then pass the mantle to them. Everybody wants to feel like a leader, so if you empower them to become leaders, you pass the mantle and they can run with it.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett and Mr. Colley.
Are you going to skip me? I mean, did you intend to skip me?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I just thought I would be an equal opportunity skipper.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just testing. I'd just like to speak to the answer to this question by what's happened in my own affiliate in Georgia. It's very obvious in our affiliate that a majority of our real strong backbone came out of our Academy for the Blind in Macon. And while we have very few children in comparison now who attend the Academy, but they are mainstreamed, and so therefore there's a great fragmentation among the blindness community to begin with. So I believe we need to be reaching out very strongly to our school systems, to the teachers of the visually impaired, to the medical people, the doctors, the rehabilitation specialists who are dealing with people that are older, and not just depend on the old way of communicating, because I believe it's going away. And we're going to have to have some real new approaches to getting the information out about really who is ECB. Excuse me. I'm getting tired. Who we are in ACB, what we have to offer
15 seconds.
Individuals who are losing their vision or individuals who have spent a lifetime without vision. We need to let people know who we are.
Thank you very much. And I bet nobody can guess who's next. Mr. Cawley, last but certainly not least.
I'll try to do this pretty fast. Market, market, market. That's how we get members, is we make them understand that we are available. We also have to work with our affiliates to make them understand that the market is not saturated, that all blind people have been exposed and decided not to join. Statistically, American Foundation for the Blind said there's one instance of blindness per 1,000 and two instances of partial sightedness per 1,000. In a population of 300 million like the United States, that means there's 900,000 blind and visually impaired people in the country. If we assume that half of them are eligible for membership and that 75,000 already belong to one of the consumer organizations, that means that 5/6 of the blind people who are probably eligible for membership in the United States have not been recruited into an organization. 375,000. We need to market and get those people involved.
Thank you. We have another question from the audience.
Yes, we do. We have two, Paul, left over here. And right now, I'm going to this lady. Who are you?
Okay. My name is Mary Lynn Pifo, Westerville, Ohio. I first want to make a comment prior to my question. Communication is the key. For those of us who did not grow up blind, what's on the tables right now, the Braille, don't read it, it's foreign language. The largest print is small print to me. Internet is not the only way to communicate. With that said, to get members and to invite people in, they have to feel there's something in it for them. It's the question, why should I join ACB? Important point, and I asked this at the caucus. When someone needs help with their blindness, they hear of ACB, they go and help me.
You're taking an awfully long time to get to your question.
The point is, help me. ACB needs to get a standard operating procedure to respond to those people.
You're answering the question now.
That's it.
So what's the question?
What do you suggest as a standard operating procedure to make sure when people come to ACB for help, they get a response?
Okay. Who would like to tackle that first?
I'll just briefly start, and then
we'll go along that way.
Okay, gets back to what I've already stated.
SOP.
We need to develop a membership kit that is available to all affiliates, and that people can study and utilize to give to new members, potential new members. And who said they would?
Okay.
I heard this question yesterday, and I thought about it. And it's a question of accountability. Anytime a question comes in, somebody needs to be accountable, so that every question, every inquiry is answered. Somebody needs to be a point person. That's delegation of tasks and duties. So the standard operation procedure would be to, anytime a question comes in, it will get an answer, and the staff should be delegated that responsibility.
Now, did you skip poor Marcia?
I
thought I was supposed to be skipped again.
Nah, you
we're
can
playing
go ahead.
Skippo, right?
That's right. Now you can go ahead, Ms. Marshall.
I really did hear what this lady was saying, and I understand her frustration because I think I've been there in her shoes myself. And I felt like the Lone Ranger. I didn't understand what I was supposed to do as a visually impaired person. I really didn't. So I think we need to sometimes, some of us, have the responsibility of thinking about what is it like to all of a sudden, like the gentleman who crashed in the plane and he's blind, what is it like all of a sudden to have had vision and all of a sudden have no vision? So if we can come up with several different standard operating procedures to meet the various needs of those who are newly blind, older blind, younger blind, you know, we can't just have a one-size-fits-all. We've got to have some unique...
15 seconds.
And we got to do it in a hurry, too. But anyway, we've got to have some, you know, some very tailor-made ways of dealing with people who come to us with various losses of their vision in various ways.
Let's give David Trott a chance to answer this one next. We get three Southern points of view in a row, because I'm going to let Billie Jean answer after that.
I think that we probably have to become better communicators and realize we all have certain areas that we feel comfortable with. I know a lot of us use Braille, a lot of us use print, and we all love computers. We talk about them all the time. And this question to me is more relevant than it might be to some people, because I had a friend who was successful in the Business Enterprise Program for more than 30 years, and all of a sudden I realized one day he couldn't read. He couldn't write because he didn't know Braille, and he was totally blind. So, you know, all I can tell you is that we have the various methods of communication out there. It's not always print. It's not always Braille. We do have cassettes. We do have audio CDs, and that we do everything that we can. If there's more than we can do, then I would be love to hear from you privately and talk to you about it. But if there's more than we can do than that, I really don't know what it is.
Miss Billie Jean.
Okay. This is interesting. The lady who made the statement and asked the question just spoke for a lot of people that I talk to. People who suddenly are faced with being blind or visually impaired or legally blind, and trying to for them to sort out so many new things. And I never had that because I was visually impaired as a child, although I never met a blind person until I was a teenager. But I was, but it was so comforting for me to meet another person who was visually impaired, when in my school I felt it was because I was stupid that I wasn't doing well. And it wasn't. It was because I couldn't see. And it was such a relief, because I always wanted to be a smart person. And for her to say what she said just spoke volumes. And I don't think there is a standard operating procedure. I think it's got to be customized for the person, where they're coming from, and what their
time.
Experience is.
That was closer. There we go. Anybody on the Board of Publication group want to tackle this one?
Yes.
Oh, everybody does. Okay. Then let's start then with Marcia Dresser.
Well, I could have stayed sit down and handed it to you.
Well, it's interesting, because when I was president of the Connecticut affiliate, we had the Connecticut CCB phone line in my house. And I got questions like that. People would call and say, I can't pour my orange juice because I can't see it. I can't read. What do I do? How do I get to the doctor? So it's important that when a question comes in, we need to answer that question and not even worry about ACB at that moment, but just answer the question and give the person some help. The staff can't be expected to do that. I think when staff people get questions in the office, find out where the person is from and direct the question to the affiliate. And I'd like to see every affiliate find some people who are skilled in different areas, so that a person could be directed to someone in the affiliate who can give help.
Thank you. And we can pass it on to the next person.
I think you've touched on a point, Marcia, that, you know, We just don't have the staff time and human resources in our national office to be able to answer all these questions within, let's say, 24 hours. We can't do it. We don't have the human capital. And I wish we did. And if we get better in raising funds and so forth, we may have more opportunity to employ people to do information referral activities when we get these questions.
15 seconds.
But let's just be realistic and realize that we have to refer people to our local and state affiliates, and we have to rely on people who are close to the individual on the ground to help and assist.
Time.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for the question because I think it's a very pertinent one, and I think it's one that really does matter. I can't tell you how many times I've been called to the hospital when a new mommy has had a baby and the baby's blind and she is distraught and she doesn't know how on earth she's going to raise this baby. But, you know, it goes even beyond that, goes to adulthood. And, you know, ACB has an excellent governmental affairs person. And, no, Eric cannot do it in, you know, a 24-hour period of time. But I know just yesterday we had a resolution that came in that was, in fact, an advocacy issue. And he committed to this person that he was going to deal with the issue.
15 seconds.
Thank you. And that's where it starts. It starts there. It starts with us calling Eric, Eric calling us, and we work together. And you don't, you tailor make it, but you tailor make it to the person and what the issues are. And I commit
Time.
To you. You'll have to guess.
It's nice of us. We'll have to figure out what you commit to us. I'm hoping you mean all your worldly goods and you're talking to me. Your firstborn, someone said in the audience.
This is Ken Stewart.
Mr. Stewart.
Yes, thank you very much. I agree with Judy entirely. In fact, I'd like the person who made the statement asked the question, please give me contact information. I want to speak to you after the meeting. And it illustrates something I was trying to say earlier, how much wealth of knowledge and information and good ideas and motivation are with you folks out there in the audience and all of our members. Yeah, give them a hand. But part of the answer is I agree we need to develop an SOP, and that's something we need to put our heads together with, and we need to have a committee and people that have ideas like was just illustrated on what is the ideal approach. Certainly part of the initial approach is welcome, you're not alone. Secondly is what permission do we have to pass along contact information? Do you want to have somebody call you? Would you like to call somebody? Would you like to give us your email address or email you? And in the concern expressed about not enough people in the national office, there can be enough people helping the national office, either volunteers or the affiliates. Lots of affiliates want to help out very material in this. And I think it's a great thing for us to focus on. And if I'm back on the Board of Publications, I'm going to try to get this on the agenda of the Board of Publications. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And now,
ladies and gentlemen, from the audience comes our last question.
That's right, and this man's been patiently waiting for quite a while. And what's your question? What's your name?
I'm Rob Hill. We've talked about fundraising this evening. I'd like to ask each candidate for the Board of Directors to mention two or three specific ways that new funding, additional funding, might best be spent. I think Charlie Hodge mentioned something a moment ago. I'd appreciate each of you make some suggestions, if you don't mind, besides putting money into the reserve.
And I'm going to ask folks to limit themselves to 30 seconds for this answer, and then I'm going to give you 30 seconds after that to kind of wind up and leave a final thought with folks who've been listening. So you can be thinking about that too. But specific fundraising exercises. Mr. Stewart.
Places to which funds should be directed, actually, Paul.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question, Rob. Thank you for your correction.
Thank you.
So places that we should spend money within ACB, Mr. Stewart.
Well, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is having the best possible publication. That means not only the Braille Forum, and I'm so pleased that the ACB Board of Directors has restored it to 12 issues, that there will be funding enough for it to be a full issue. I think all of our affiliates need as much encouragement as we can give them in terms of strengthening their publications, too. That, in turn, opens up lots of doors for financial support. Thank you.
Regional workshops with kids to find out what their interests are. What's important to them as a blind person? Do guys want to know? I know when we did this and I worked for Division for Blind Services, it was, how do I get a date? What do I do? What if a girl rejects me? I'm blind. How do I put the move on? What do I do? That kind of stuff. Grooming. All those issues that are so important to teenagers. And then we can bring in the things that we're working on, like identifiable currency. Hey, don't you want to be able to pay the bill by yourself?
15 seconds.
You know, that that kind of thing. So regional workshops for kids, because then when we show them that we care about their issues, they're going to come in here and they're going to work like gangbusters for us.
Thank you, Judy. Mr. Hodge.
Yes, I really do believe that we have to do a better job at directing funds to areas where we can, in a sense, use win-win partnershiping agreements, not only with foundations and corporations, but also with our own affiliates, to be able to gain the resources, to be able to employ staff, and of course, I don't want to impinge in any way on the prerogative of the executive director.
Yes, indeed, Ms. Dresser.
I would like to second Judy's idea, because I totally agree with it, about regional workshops for kids to find out what they want and how to get them interested in us. I also think it's crucial that we increase our support and help to affiliates, especially those that are struggling. I am also very pleased that we have the Braille Forum for 12 issues again. We need to maintain that. And I think we need to expand ACB Radio in ways, because there are boxes people can use, so you don't need to access it with a computer.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Trott.
I'd like to, without doing it, just echo that I agree with all of my colleagues and what they've said so far. But also, one of the biggest places I think we need to spend money, and the most important place right now, is additional office staff, not only in Minneapolis, in Washington, D.C. area, but also in Minneapolis, and in membership development.
15 seconds. Well, very good. Yes?
I remember about 10 or 15 years ago when our resources were better, ACB did some regional leadership conferences that I think were probably very, very productive for a good return on an outlay of funds. And it is expensive. We had to cut down on that. And leadership conferences, though, really are a way. If you bring it to them in their area, then they'll find a way to come back to us in the national conventions
time.
And things. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If I had the money, here's what I'd do. I agree with Billie Jean. I think we should have more leadership conferences, regional leadership conferences, to develop leadership, mentoring, education, all the things that would empower our members to not only be strong leaders and advocates, but recruiters also. And, of course, the second thing I'd do, if I had all the money that I needed,
15 seconds,
would reinvest in ACBES to make our stores even more competitive, attractive, and ultimately more profitable.
Ms. Farrow.
I believe we need to increase our first-timers' support to come to the convention by 100 times, and if we could. And I also believe that we need to help our national leaders go and visit affiliates without costing the affiliates, especially those that are struggling.
Very good. Mr. Colley.
Back to both Michael and Billie Jean's comments about leadership conferences, the state of Washington has conducted for the last 8 years a very successful leadership program. And one of the benefits from that goes beyond just developing leaders. It is that from these people with new ideas, thinking out of the box, as David mentioned earlier, we can extract ideas, fresh ideas about fundraising events for not only the national organization, but the local organizations and the state affiliates, too. And I think by that, we could really gain a lot.
Excellent. Hold on to the mic, because remember, we're going to go back in the other direction. I want to ask candidates to let us know what final thoughts you'd like to leave with members and friends listening out there in ACB Radio. And remember, try to limit your answers to 30 seconds. Quick sound bites. This is a TV section. Mr. Colley.
What I would like for everyone to take into consideration as we vote tomorrow is that if I'm elected to the board of directors, what you'll be getting is someone who probably is more conservative when it comes to money issues and probably
15 seconds.
More liberal when it comes to people issues. I happen to believe in people. I also believe in balanced budgets and having close examination of our money income.
Thank you. Ms. Farrow.
I just have a simple statement. Let's keep ACB on the straight and narrow. Thank you for voting for Marcia Farrow.
All right. Mr. Garrett, if you dare it.
I do plan to do so. The issues we face are critical. We are in a struggle, but I'm in it to win it, aren't you?
Thank you, Mr. Garrett. Yes, go ahead, please.
I've been talking since 6:30 this morning, and I don't think I've stopped for more than just time to brush my teeth a couple of times. But I really am very, very hopeful that I may have this opportunity to serve my final term on the board of directors. It's been wonderful. I have loved it. I have learned a lot, and I hope I am assisting a lot and as a valuable board member. Thank you.
That was your belief, Ms. Keith.
Belief, police dismisseth us.
Yes, please. Go ahead, sir.
Y'all are being unfair here. Know that if you elect me, you will elect a board member that is not just a team player, but someone who is willing to stand out on the team, someone who's willing to stand up and say if you're wrong, you're wrong, but someone who is willing to compromise, who is willing to work, and who is willing to work for the betterment of ACB, an organization that I love and believe in more than any other organization.
Thank you very much. That's the lot, Mr. Trott.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, we're now moving into the Board of Publications area, and it's getting harder. Ms. Dresser?
I dare you, Paul. Hey, I like that. Thank you, Judy. Dresser won't be a stressor. No. And if I have the opportunity to serve you on the Board of Publications, I would like to dovetail my work on the membership committee with my work on the BOP. I feel that I am a people person, a good listener, and a good communicator. I promise that you can approach me at any time. I will listen to you, and I will help you to implement your suggestions, if at all possible. Thank you.
Bless her, Ms. Dresser.
Mr. Well, I didn't know that this was going to come down to a contest or an election of slogans. So I hadn't really prepared for one, but I just want, well, yeah, I that's That's right. Sort of borrowing from one of our candidates for president, the Straight Talk Express of John McCain, I would say, you ain't going to get no Dodge with Charlie Hodge. I'll tell you straight, and I'll tell you the truth.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Ms. Jackson.
I told you I was going to tell you what I would commit to you, and the thing that I'm going to commit to you is the fact that I'm approachable, conscientious, and I'm true to the process, and if you want action, you...
Vote Jackson. There we are. Thank you very much. Mr. Stewart. Oops.
That was your action. You just broke the mic.
The mic almost survived to the end.
If you want to break the mic, vote for Jackson. Okay, let's...
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, here's the other one.
Or should I shout? Okay, I've had some original poetry published, and I specialize in humorous limericks, but I'll be darned if I can think of anything that rhymes as Kent Stewart. But I do want to thank the Board of Publications for the candidates page and the website and through the National Office on telephone for this candidates forum tonight. It really is so important to have a well-informed electorate tomorrow morning right in this room. And I must say that I am so enthusiastic about the last year of this organization, really moving in high gear in a great direction, and I want to be one of those people that are still pedaling on the organization tricycle. Thank you.
Did you say pedaling or pedaling? I just want to tell you really quick, Paul, the microphone battery died, so she didn't really kill the mic.
Yeah, so luckily the Jackson action did not cause the equal and opposite reaction.
That's right. You're very correct.
But it seems only fair for us to come up with something for Ken, I think that's what we'll do. I think what we ought to do just say when with Ken. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for putting up with the silliness of your moderator, but thank you as well for joining us this evening and listening to the very serious thoughts of all of our candidates for office. Remember, please, if you will, that while all of us who are here will be voting tomorrow, we want every one of you out there to remember that you have voting responsibilities this fall. On behalf of all of the candidates here, on behalf of Jay Dowden and Chrissy from ACB Radio, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us this evening. I'd like to also express my appreciation to the members of this audience who have been great to have around. And on behalf of everyone, good night. God bless you all.
And that just about concludes our coverage. I trust you've enjoyed it. There's been some interesting questions and answers, and now it all comes down to voting tomorrow. Before we leave you, let's give you an idea what's coming up tomorrow.
From ACB Radio, this is a 2008 convention update for Friday, July the 11th. All times are in Eastern Daylight Time, 4 hours behind UTC. The 47th Annual National Convention of the American Council of the Blind, theme ACB in the Winner's Circle, is being held until Saturday, July the 12th at the Gold House Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky, hosted by the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Today, broadcasting of the two general business sessions will commence from the Grand Ballroom at 8:15 a.m. on ACB Radio Mainstream with the pre-convention entertainment, which will be provided by Louisville native Deanna Scoggins. The morning session will be called to order at 8:30 a.m. by ACB President Mitch Pomerantz of Pasadena, California. The Pledge of Allegiance will be made by Louisville native Eric Frey, member of the Kentucky Local Host Committee. Following this, the invocation will be conducted by Louisville native Howard Cook of the Walnut Street Baptist Church and Governor of the Lyons District 43 North. At 8:35 a.m., the ACB Enterprises and Services Report will be given by Michael Garrett, Chair of its Board of Directors from Missouri State, Texas. We will also hear the Executive Director's Report by Melanie Brunson of Washington District of Columbia and the National Convention Report by Committee Chair and Louisville native Carla Rushable, both of which were postponed from yesterday's session. At 9 o'clock a.m., ACB elections will be conducted. These will be interrupted by a short break at 10:15 a.m. and followed by resolutions. A break for lunch will occur at midday. Details of programming during this break have yet to be finalized and will be announced as necessary. The convention will reconvene for the afternoon session at 1:15 p.m. with ACB Business.
which will be interrupted by a short break at 2:45 p.m. and which will then continue until the adjournment of the session at 5 p.m. Following the adjournment of the afternoon session, the start of the morning session will be repeated on ACB Radio Mainstream until the start of the banquet. More details to follow. During live broadcasts of the general business sessions, you'll be able to interact with the broadcasting team in real time by email or MSN Messenger to convention@acbradio.org and the politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. These services will not be available during repeat broadcasts. Broadcasting of the annual ACB banquet will commence from the Archibald Ballroom at 7 o'clock p.m. on ACB Radio Mainstream, interrupting the replays of the morning's general business session. The Master of Ceremonies will be Michael Byington of Topeka, Kansas, and the invocation will be conducted by Louisville native Deanna Scoggins. During the banquet, we will hear a speech entitled ALH and the History of the Blind by Louisville native Dr. Tuck Tinsley III, President of the American Printing House for the Blind, and the presentation of the Robert Bray, Durwood K. McDaniel, and George Card Awards by Nolan McKinney of Bonnerdale, Arkansas, Chair of the ACB Rewards Committee. The broadcast is expected to finish at 10 p.m., after which rebroadcasts of the two general sessions and the banquet will alternate until 8 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, after which all of the convention coverage, with the exception of the coverage from the Exhibit Hall and Dog Club Radio, will be broadcast in its entirety. Please note that all times given are approximate and all information given may change with little or no notice. For more details and the most current information, visit our website at www.acbradio.org and read the convention information at www.acb.org/convention. We hope you have enjoyed our coverage of the 47th Annual National Convention of the American Council of the Blind, and we hope to provide further coverage of a similar nature in the future. ACB Radio, where you're listening is our business.
And I couldn't have said it better. That ends our coverage. Back again tomorrow at approximately 12:15 UTC, 8:15 Eastern, with the entertainment pre-convention thereof. So, from that, I'm out of here. I'm going to turn this whole thing off and go off and get something to eat. Bye!